So we are going to start a little mini-series today, talking about living in God's presence, and called Living in God's Presence. And it's going to take about probably 3 weeks, and going to unpack a little bit. Based all on this verse that has freaked me out for years. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, it says, "Pray without ceasing." Or another translation, NLT, says, "Never stop praying." That freaked me out. Like, what is that talking about? How can I never stop praying? How can I pray without ceasing? I have this picture in my mind that I'm supposed to, like, go and you know, be alone and get in the closet and have my list of prayer requests about all the problems that are in the world, and I'm going to just get on my knees and just pray and intercede and ask God to be doing big things in all these people's lives that I know that are hurting and around the world issues and situations. And I got to be honest, I was like, that just doesn't sound fun. That just is boring. That scares me. I don't care that much, right? Let's be honest. If that's what your life is supposed to be, I'm a Christian, I pray without ceasing, I just got to get alone in my closet and just kind of go through my list all day. How on earth are we supposed to pray without ceasing? That sounds scary. How are you supposed to do that? We've got jobs, we've got families, we got stuff to do. And so this has been an exploration for me for the last probably decade or so of what does that look like? It's become a core part of who we are as a church. It's become a core part of our lives. This reality that God's inviting us to live in His presence at every moment. Pray without ceasing, if nothing else, is this invitation. It's a picture of the kind of relationship that God wants us to have with Him. It's the kind of connection that God wants us to have. Because if you ask yourself the question, how often do you talk to God? What would your answer be? Is it once a week, Sunday morning, talk to God for an hour or so, hour or two? And then I got a midweek thing that I go hang out with, and I think about God, and I talk about God, and talk with God. Maybe I don't even talk with God, maybe I just talk about God. But if you ask yourself honestly the question, how often do you talk with God? I believe the invitation from the Word is that God is saying, through a process of growth and through a journey, God wants that answer to be all the time. He's never unavailable. He's never taking a break. He's never too busy. And He's inviting us into this kind of relationship that is real, that is active, that is alive, that is vibrant, that is right now, right here. I saw this quote last night on Facebook from one of our Elevation youth, and I want to read it because it was profound. And I told him, I'm like, dude, Landon, this is exactly what we're talking about at church tomorrow. So he said this, "Most people are never fully present in the now because unconsciously they believe that the next moment must be more important than this one. But then you miss your whole life, which is never not now." It's getting a little philosophical, but pretty impressive for 15-year-old freshmen. Most people are never fully present right now because unconsciously they're believing they're looking ahead. I would add, or looking behind. But if you do that, you miss your whole life, which is never not now. The reality is God is present to you now. This moment, this very now moment, this is your opportunity to be with God. And so oftentimes we can carry burdens from the past that fill us with guilt or shame or hurt or pain or regret so that we're not able to be present now. Or we can be so concerned about the future, dreaming about the future, worried about the future, that we're not present right now. And now is the only thing we really got. Now is the only thing that's really real. And I believe As the scripture's saying, pray without ceasing. God is wanting to meet us in the now. That's all we've got. He doesn't want the burdens of the past to weigh us down so we can't be present in the now, and he doesn't want the fears of the future or even the excitement about the future to take away from the reality that the only time we can really be in God's presence is right now. So pray without ceasing starts to take on a lot of depth, starts to take on a lot of intrigue, because it's this invitation for how real God wants to be in our life. It's not just a Sunday morning thing for an hour. It's not just a Wednesday night thing. It's just in my special certain times. But what would it look like if God were to so transform our minds that it didn't matter where we were and it didn't matter what we were doing? We were able to cultivate a relationship and a conversation and a presence with God in the now. That sounds really attractive. Sounds really great. And I hope that sounds attractive to you, because the reality is we don't live that much of life in those specific set aside times of engagement, such as a Sunday morning worship service. That's great. But proportionally, how many hours a week are there outside of that? And I find it incredible news that God, I believe, says to us, and we're going to get there over the next few weeks. He invites us to say, I want to be in all of that. I want to be in your schoolwork. I want to be at, if you're a student, I want to be in your schoolwork. I want to be in your sports. I want to be at your home in your homework. Believe it or not, come on, guys, I'm talking about a miracle. God can be with you at home in your homework. For those of us working, it's God's with you at work. In your work, on the way to work, on the way home from work, when you're taking the kids to soccer practice, when you're vacuuming the house, when you're cleaning the dishes. That's where we live life. That is the vast majority of our time is spent in all of those things. And how bummer is it if God's not available? How incredible, though, is it if in all of those things we can meet with God? And so that when we come on Sunday morning, and I'm not knocking Sunday morning, I think it's an important thing, or when we come in those other ways of gathering together in the name of Jesus with other believers, those are great things, but when we come, it doesn't have a stark contrast of, oh, now I'm with God. Man, this week sucked, but now I'm with God. What if we get to be with him all the time? And then this is just another one of those expressions. It's another angle. It's another flavor. It's another way of getting to be with him. And it's good. But if what do we walk in here or walk into our other intentional times and we don't have that feeling of, oh, man, I haven't been with God for so long. I think that's the kind of pray without ceasing. Because prayer is simply a conversation. That's what you see all throughout the Bible. Prayer is simply a conversation with God. Now, there's lots of different forms of that conversation, some more intense than others. Some of that conversation does include intercession, which is getting alone and getting the list of what's on God's heart and what's on your heart and praying for people. I'm not knocking that. We should do that. That is something to grow into. But prayer is this conversation that includes, meant to include, all of life. Incredible invitation from God. But I want to explore this here for the next few weeks, because someone has said, as I've been reading recently, that there's no other spiritual discipline, and the spiritual disciplines are those ways in which we intentionally seek to engage with God. Our relationship with God is not one-sided. If you think you're going to wake up tomorrow, poof, magically with a great relationship with God, you're wrong. If you think 20 years from now you're just going to poof, magically be close to God, you're wrong. That's not what the Bible says at all. There's all over the place. There's these demonstrations and examples of people who are engaging in relationship. And a lot of contemporary authors call those now spiritual disciplines. The ways in which we choose with our time, effort, and energy to engage with God. And I read a quote recently that, I think it's on here. I'll read it, but I agree with it. No other single discipline, talking about those spiritual disciplines, no other single discipline has the power to revolutionize how we experience life moment by moment as the largely forgotten and profoundly simple discipline of remembering that God exists right here, right now. And I would agree with him. I love the spiritual disciplines and feed on them, and would and do highly encourage all of us to find those different disciplines and engage in them. But I would say, from my own experience, the single most important spiritual discipline that you could ever cultivate is this right here, the practicing the presence of God in the moment, the turning on the radar to recognize and learn through the discipline of it, that God is with you right here, right now. You are surrounded by God. As Acts 17:28 says, in him we live and move and have our being. Or as Psalm 139 says, where can I go from your presence? And he goes, the heights, the depths, nowhere can I go where I'm out of your presence. So we're always with God. God's always with us. But it's a matter of learning to recognize that we are surrounded right now with his love. We are surrounded with his presence. In the moment by moment, daily, mundane chores and activities, we are just as, God is just as available to be with than when we are in this moment right here on our knees Sunday morning singing worship songs or listening to the word or whatever your favorite most powerful expression of connecting with God is. God is just as available everywhere else in the moments by moments. That's why for me this gets very important. I think this is one of the most, if not the most important things we could do, because it transforms our life from God being here and there and there and a little bit to, whoa, God's everywhere, and I can be with God everywhere. And so this morning, I want to take us to a favorite old guy of mine, Brother Lawrence. Talk about his story for a little bit. And in the next couple weeks, we're not going to talk about him anymore. I have talked about Brother Lawrence before, but he's just such a beautiful example of how God can be everywhere. Because the bottom line is, guys, he's a monk from the 16th century that got, he had this moment where he found God in the forest. So he's walking through the forest and it's a cold winter and he sees a tree and he sees all of a sudden like the beauty of the tree just overwhelms him and he falls on his knees right there and just has this moment of experiencing God. Now he had been to church before, he knew about Jesus, etc. But all of it kind of just in this moment of conversion exploded as he saw the beauty of God in a tree, the creation, the power, in just the intricacy of a tree in the middle of winter. And then he gives his life to God. Think about this. Think about how you would feel. So he has this incredible come to Jesus moment. He's so excited about who God is. He's overwhelmed with God. He says, you know what? I'm going to give my whole life to God. I'm going to just go become a monk so I can just be with God all the time. I love God so much. So he becomes a monk and he gets the incredible opportunity of lifelong dish duty at the monastery. Think about your life. Come on. Think about your life. You think your life's boring? You think homework's boring? You think your job's boring? This guy has this incredible experience with God, feels God's presence, says, I just want to be with God forever. I want to go just give my life, drop everything and follow Jesus. And the guy, he turns in his papers. I mean, just imagine what's going on in his head. I'm so excited. I'm just going to follow God. I get to be with Jesus. And he gets, he reads the paper like, what do I get to do? Dish duty. Every day. Until you die, probably. Wow. Bummer. But not bummer. And that's what I love about this guy. I want to read us here a couple of his quotes. He ended up developing what he calls this spiritual practice of practicing the presence of God. But basically he was like, I just don't want to give up. Okay, I got dish duty. That stinks. I hate dishes. Says it in his book. But I don't want to give up. I don't want to believe that God can't be here. That doesn't make sense. It's not in the Bible. So I want to believe that God can be right here. And it's so encouraging because he hates dishes. He's not a fan of dishes. Some of you love dishes. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know who loves dishes. Maybe I'm just talking nonsense. Who loves dishes? He doesn't like dishes. It wasn't like he grew up wanting to go wash dishes. And that's why I love it. Because it's like, there's no excuse. We could be in a task that we hate, like him, And with a humble heart that seeks to turn it up to God and find God in the moment and see where God is and see what God's doing and learn to cultivate his presence and cultivate that praise of him and that gratitude of who he is and that conversation with God that never ends, that never stop praying, open conversation, any situation, even something that you hate, has the potential to be redeemed and transformed and made holy and made sacred. And I love it. Nothing in this life is outside the possibility of being redeemed and made holy and made sacred. That's one of the things we see in Jesus. There's nothing sacred. There's nothing that's not spiritual. That's not. We often in our modern world have this concept of like what's sacred and what's profane. Where's those holy moments, and then there's everything else that's not. And we don't see. That's not a biblical worldview. That's not a Jesus worldview. He was with God all the time. Everywhere he went, he made it holy by carrying the presence of God with him because he was constantly in conversation with the one who makes things holy. And I love that perspective that everything can be made sacred. Everything can be made into a holy moment through the heart that's willing. Because through what Jesus has done, that same Holy Spirit that was upon Jesus, that raised Jesus from the dead, is now available to indwell and be upon us, to make everything holy. It's the Holy Spirit. He can make dishwashing a holy moment because he's always with us. As Jesus said, I'll be with you always. Never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you to the end of the age. He's with us in the presence of the Holy Spirit. So there's always an opportunity to have a holy moment. Holy moments are not designated or put over here into a little corner of churchy activities. They include those, but they blow the doors off. And God's saying, because of the Holy Spirit's presence in our life, every moment is a candidate to be a holy moment. But there is a awareness on our part. There's a co-laboring. There's a relationship. There's our piece of the puzzle. So I want to read us a few of these Brother Lawrence moments where he talks about his journey. So he said, and it'll jump up here on the screen or it's in your lift notes, that I make it my business to only persevere in his holy presence, wherein I keep myself by a simple attention, a general fond regard to God, which I may call an actual presence of God, or to speak better, a habitual, silent, secret conversation of the soul with God. What a sweet description of life. While he's doing dishes, remember, this is where it's coming from. While he's doing something that he hates, the tedious, mundane chores of life, while he's doing that, he has this simple attention, a habitual, silent, secret conversation of the soul with God, a fond regards towards God. His soul is opened up, listening. He's practicing the presence of God. He's practicing being aware that God is here, God is real, God is with him, and God wants to be in conversation. And he challenges us. Have you turned your God radar on to intentionally cultivate an awareness of God's presence? Those are key words, awareness, because God is everywhere. God is here. Jesus said, I'll be with you. You're not alone. I'll send a helper. He's here. Father's here. Holy Spirit's here. He's with us to the end of the age. We can't get away from him. He surrounds us. But it's about us partnering with him, saying yes to that, finding ways to make agreement with that, because that's really what's happening. Oftentimes, we're not agreeing with that. No, I'm going to do it over here. You're not really here with me, God. I'm doing this tedious thing. I'm doing this job at work that I don't like. I'm doing this situation. I'm playing taxi here. I'm doing dishes here. I'm mundane life stuff. You're not with me. That's kind of unconsciously, not kind of, that's often unconsciously there. where the radar's off. And it's just, oh, I got to get through this stuff of the day. I just got to do my stuff and get through it to get to something that I enjoy. That's us with a radar off. Because God's saying, I'll be with you. I am with you. Are you willing to turn the radar on and find me in it? Recognize me. Become aware that I'm just as much in that moment that is tedious and mundane as I am anywhere. And he goes on to say, which I love the honesty. He says, I found no small pain in this exercise, yet I continued it, notwithstanding all the difficulties that occurred, and without troubling or disquieting myself when my mind wandered involuntarily, I made this my business as much all the day as long as the appointed times of prayer. So he's saying he made it to no different. Appointed times of prayer. Okay, you go now, you're done doing dishes, go into the church building and go pray, be with God. He's saying, I made it my business to not see those as any different. At all times, every hour, every minute, even in the height of my busyness, the height of my business, I drove away from my mind everything that was capable of interrupting my thought of God. I love the honesty here. This is a process. It's going to take effort. It's going to take focus. It's going to take a training of the mind. This is an intentional training, renewing of our mind. Reminds me of that verse, 2 Corinthians 10:5, where Paul says, and we take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Take every thought captive. That's aggressive language. Another translation that's appropriate is we submit every thought to Christ. We put it into submission. That's a wrestling term. You know, you put something into submission. You wrestle it until it is obedient. And Paul's encouraging us to transform our minds, have our minds renewed by not letting the thoughts that come into our mind, because this is where we live. We live every moment of the day in the now, in our minds, and oftentimes our minds are just all over the place. Regret about the past, worry about the future. Very hard that they're just present in the moment. I'm just with God right now. And this is not discounting that we don't have to plan for the future and we don't have to take action steps and we just sit around all day. No, that's the whole point of this guy's testimony. In the midst of all the things to do, whether it's dishes, whether it's activities this, activities there, it's that cultivating that awareness. I'm with God right now. God wants to be with me right now. That never changes. That, though, is going to be hard. As we engage in this, we're going to recognize, and as I began this journey, I recognized how much my mind is all over the place. Not in this general fond regard to God, general open heart conversation with God that's the foundation of everything. It was much more of a revelation of like, oh, I just do my own thing over here and I think my own thing over here, not even consciously. Now, we talk a lot about letting the Lord reign in our life and how that's when his kingdom breaks through, is when he is truly the Lord of everything in our life, every decision. And sometimes we can look at those big decisions. Who am I going to get married to? Where am I going to live? What's my career? What's my next big step in life? Where am I going to serve in ministry? Who, et cetera, am I investing in relationally? Where's my church home? Big questions. Should we submit all those things to the Lord? Absolutely. Is that where God wants to reign? Absolutely. But this example here, of all these scripture verses and Brother Lawrence we're talking about, it's taking this to kind of another level that gets to the reality that so often, even with a general picture of, oh, my life's submitted to God. I want God to reign in my life. Even within that, there's often the reality, and this is what I discovered for myself, but in the daily, hourly, 15-minute, moment-by-moment place that this is the only place we really live and it's real, my mind's just all over the place. I'm stressing about the future. I'm worried about the past. I'm bringing things to the past. I'm anxious about what's coming. I've got to try to figure it all out. And it's like, where is my heart, my mind, my energy focused? And it was this, whoa. It's like a, you know, roller coaster chaos in there. And God is inviting us to let Him be that foundation, the awareness of His presence, the worship of who He is, the gratitude for who He is, the peace that comes in knowing He's got our future in His hands and He's got our past completely covered over, so that we're able to be in the moment in everything, recognizing that we're with Him, that He is Lord of this moment. I get to just be a child of God that's enjoying His presence, enjoying His love, enjoying His promises for the future, thanking Him for who He is and who He's been and who He will be. God is inviting us into that kind of a journey, that's more and more, and that's the kind of process of taking our thoughts captive and say, no. I'm not going to spend the next hour worrying about this. I'm not going to spend the next 30 minutes just in nowhere land. I'm going to learn by God's grace, by God's help, over time, to take every thought captive and say, God, I want to think about You all the time. I want everything in life to be filtered through, or to pour through the filter of God. How does this relate to God? How does this reveal more of God? How does this show me more of God? How does this remind me of God's goodness? How does this awaken my heart to worship God? Like Brother Lawrence seeing a tree in the forest. It was just this, everything can be a sacred moment in which it helps us and enables us to stay connected to the reality of God's presence in our life. It's an amazing, amazing contrast to this dry and weary land where it feels like, oh, God's just, I'm just getting more and more parched and weary and dry. And oh, then I found the little oasis. Oh, I had that awesome conversation with that person and they prayed for me. Ah, God's presence renewed me. And then I go back to, dry, weary. I don't know about you guys, but I just don't want to live in that cycle. If God's got more available than that cycle of, oh, just get dry and weary and parched and frustrated and anxious and alone, got a little taste of God. And then back, cycle that. If that was the reality, okay, we'd deal with it. But it's not. It's not the reality. It's not the reality that God's inviting us into. And that's what's so exciting. Brother Lawrence said this, there is not in the world a kind of life more sweet and delightful than that of a continual conversation with God. And I'm so attracted to that. And I'll say from my own journey, I agree that there's just when God and you cultivate this presence and awareness of who He is and turn that heart upward to just learning to always be with Him, and He's always there like your best friend. You're always in conversation, and there's always looking for opportunities to see Him in things and thank Him and praise Him. It's just so much better than just getting so dry and then just longing for, where can I find Him? Oh, I got to go to this conference to get filled up. I mean, we were at a leadership conference a little bit ago, and it was just this sweet reminder. As what the conference speaker was saying, hey, some of you guys just may be so dry and just come forward for prayer and just be so hurting and just you just need that lifted up and you've just been in the trenches of ministry. And it was just this moment of as my wife and I looked at each other and we've gone through a lot of hard times. Life has not been easy. It's been really hard, in fact. But we both looked at each other and we're like, no, we're good. What? He's going through crazy hard circumstances. And it was going back to this. It's because God wants to do it in this way where He never leaves us. We never leave Him. Is He at conferences? Yes. Is He at Sunday morning? Yes. Is He in prayer times? Yes. Do we believe in all those things? Yes. But it was just a sweet moment of where it was like, God's taken us to this place, regardless of circumstances, where they don't have to just continue to beat you down and beat you down to where you just get so dry. It's like, oh, I'm just so done with life and I need something to just totally save me. And a bunch of Christian leaders were there and everybody's going forward and like, oh, wow. No, God's, we're okay. We're with God. He's right here. He's been with us. And now we went forward for prayer later and for different things. And I'm not saying don't go forward for prayer. We believe in it. But I'm just trying to encourage you guys that sometimes we set ourselves up for failure when we get in this mindset of like, out there, you're just going to get destroyed. And then you got to find those certain oases of God's presence. And this is a tension because I believe that God works through the body of Christ. And we need each other. That was a message a couple weeks ago. We're not meant to do it alone and stay isolated. We need that. But as well, we need to retrain our mind that God wants to be with us everywhere. And don't sell ourselves short that and create our expectation that, oh, I'm not going to be able to be with God. I'm just going to get thrashed, and then I'm going to have to go find him. That's setting ourselves up for failure. That's an expectation, a faith-filled expectation in the enemy's truth. We don't want to come into agreement with that. We want to have faith-filled expectations and come into agreement with what God says for us. We don't want to come in, and that's where today I want to just break the idea that any of us may be holding that God can't be with us all the time and that we can't stay with God. Stay with God. So that when those times come and, oh, we got prayer, we're like, oh, I'm come and reconnect with the Lord. Well, why do we have to disconnect from the Lord? We don't. Now, the reality is we will. We're going to. And we're going to need to come forward for times of prayer, and we should. But what the Bible is inviting us into, what Jesus is inviting us into, what Pray Without Ceasing inviting us into, is that less and less of our reality as we walk this journey is going to be, oh man, I'm super disconnected. That's not a kingdom theology. That's not a New Testament theology that you are going to just be disconnected because God's not available out in normal everyday life, in school, in chores, in the mundane stuff of work. God's not available there. So, sorry, you're going to get disconnected, and then you got to go and get connected with God in the true place. That's not kingdom theology. That's not what Jesus taught. He taught the kingdom of God is at hand, so repent and believe. The kingdom of God is right here in front of you. He didn't say when you walk into a church building, or when you go to those super spiritual people that have those gifts of prayer, or when you do your special quiet time. The kingdom of God is at hand. Period. Wherever you are, God is ready to break in and manifest himself to you, show yourself to you, make his presence real. Our job, repent and believe, is to line up with that truth. That's what repent is. Line up with it. Line up with that truth. And then do something about it. Respond accordingly. That should be like a breath of fresh air. The kingdom of God is at hand. And what I want to challenge us, and today's in some ways just a big introduction. What I want to challenge us with over the next few weeks is, what does that look like in the everyday life circumstances where I typically feel disconnected from God? So you got to come back. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's right there. So over the next few weeks here, my encouragement is I believe that God wants to get into mind those specific situations where we often feel so disconnected from God and get us to that place where we're beginning the process. I'm not promising this easy thing. This is a process, a journey, a relationship that as you seek to take every thought captive, God's wanting to show you the kingdom of God is at hand. Maybe he didn't make it clear enough. Everywhere. And that's the greatest news in the world. That the God of the universe wants to be with us and show himself mighty on our behalf and to transform situations, whatever they are. Jesus put no exceptions or categories on that. The kingdom of God is at hand for you. Except when you're there. God's not big enough to be there for you. I love it. So now our job is to explore that. This is a disciple's journey here that I'm inviting you on for the next few weeks. Explore. How deep can this go? How real can God be? How many circumstances that before I used to just get frustrated and disconnected, wow, how many of those can actually get turned over and made holy? Because the Holy Spirit's with me. And I'm submitting that to God. And I'm looking for God in those things. And I'm cultivating an awareness of God in those things. Wow, that could be exciting. Because I'm tired of this connect with God, feel awesome, and then disconnect and feel horrible. And connect with God and feel awesome, and disconnect and feel horrible. What if life can get more and more where we stay connected? I believe that's exactly when you put those two verses together. The kingdom of God is at hand. Never stop praying. It's exactly what we're getting invited into. That life can become more and more of an ongoing connection with God. That's how real our relationship is meant to be. So I'm going to pause there for today. Big intro, if you will. But we're going to get to a lot of the nuts and bolts and the practice and the practices and the practicals in the next few weeks. You just want to be so present. I don't want to live life disconnected from you. I don't want to feel like I'm super close to you in these certain small little places and areas and then, oh, I'm just so disconnected the rest of the time. And I believe, Lord, that this church family shares that hunger. Lord, so I ask, Lord, that and I thank you that you are with us and you will be with us on this little few weeks of a journey that then is going to hopefully turn into a lifelong practice, a lifelong spiritual discipline of learning to walk in your presence and be aware of your presence in every situation. Thank you for the rock solid promise that the kingdom of God is at hand. You want to break in all the time. Redeem every moment, every situation. Perfect it. Make it holy unto you. Redeem it for what it's meant to be. Where you are all in all. You are all things. Where all things are glorifying you. Every thought, every emotion, every action is all worshiping you. That's what heaven will be like, where we never are disconnected from you. It's all sacred and holy and worshiping and glorifying you. But thank you, Lord, that you're inviting us to experience more and more of that life right now. We welcome you, Lord, to take us, be the leader of this journey, Lord.
For more podcasts and updates, go to weareelevation.com. Also, follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/weareelevation.